This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tessa Vigeland. When it comes to making a first impression, hard to argue anyone does a better job than a superhero, right? You know, the cape, the mask, the invisible airplane. We know they all lead real lives and they have regular jobs and complicated love lives, just like the rest of us, but we never hear about their personal finance issues. Well, James Daly and Ryan Davison are lawyers who write the blog LawAndTheMultiverse.com, and they have a new book out called The Law of Superheroes. I figure if anyone can tell us about how superheroes deal with student debt and emergency funds, well, it's these guys. Gentlemen, welcome.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Why would superheroes even have to worry about their finances?
Well, a lot of superheroes, it seems that they don't, and maybe they should. Some of them have income streams that need to be managed, like Mr. Fantastic, also known as Reed Richards, licenses patents from his inventions. He's a superhero inventor. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a big income stream there.
There's also characters like Bruce Wayne and Tony Stark that have large sort of, quote-unquote, legitimate corporate assets.
Right.
And they are either publicly or privately the head of their respective multinational corporations. So they've probably got large law firms on retainer.
So is it possible for superheroes to go bankrupt? Or are there super financial risks if you are a superhero?
Well, I think a big risk is that you might be sued in the aftermath of a major superhero-supervillain conflict. In many cases, superheroes are what we call judgment-proof, where either there's no way to get them into court or they don't actually have any significant assets. You know, somebody like Daredevil, for example, he's an attorney, but he's, you know, just kind of basically getting by in a small two-man practice. He doesn't have the kind of money to replace, you know, a giant building or something that gets destroyed, whereas someone like Batman, Bruce Wayne, Tony Stark, Iron Man, they have a lot of money. And in the aftermath of a big catastrophe, I think that there would be a lot of people looking for a payout.
And they probably have good insurance, too, then.
We've actually talked about that. Superhero insurance is going to be very, very interesting. Most liability policies have exclusions for civil unrest, acts of war, riots, anything like that's going to be viewed as an uninsurable risk. The question is whether it's possible to write that risk for a premium that anyone is willing to pay. Maybe the answer is yes. Maybe the answer is no. Maybe the government says, look, this is so important. We want this stuff to happen. So we're just going to subsidize that market. They already do this for things like wind exposure in Florida.
Right.
So the answer there is the taxpayer pays for it. This is eventually going to get unpopular, which in the Incredibles movie, they sort of had to phase superheroes out because the federal government eventually said, look, this is getting really expensive.
Well, yeah, but if you don't accommodate them, then the world's just going to be destroyed. So you got to have some sort of balancing act there, don't you?
Yes and no. For example, one of the things that a superhero could claim if they destroyed somebody's property in an effort to save the world is they could say, well, necessity. And that would be a defense to some things. But in many cases, when a private individual claims necessity, they're still on the hook for the damage. Mm. They still have to compensate the owner. So, for example, if Superman has to use somebody's car to throw at a supervillain to stop them, he may still be liable for the cost of the damage to the car.
How big of an emergency fund would you say a superhero needs? You know, I mean, if you're Bruce Wayne and your mansion burns down, or you're Iron Man and you decide to just completely wreck your house in a drunken fight with, you know, the Hulk.
It depends on the superhero. Some, like Batman and Iron Man, have lots of assets that they could potentially need to replace. Some kind of run on a shoestring. Some, like the Hulk, basically, I guess goes through a lot of clothes, but that's about it.
He has magic pants.
Yeah, right. I think in many cases, the potential liability or the need to replace things is going to be so huge that insurance is probably going to be the way to go.
But yeah, I mean, Peter Parker is constantly yelling at people for breaking his web spinners. Hey, you owe me $50. That cost money. Iron Man can come up with as many suits of armor as he wants.
Right.
Peter Parker is building all of his gadgets in his basement.
One of you mentioned taxes, and presumably all of our superheroes pay their taxes. I mean, they are the greatest Americans ever, right?
Well, yes and no. The ones that have secret identities, presumably they pay taxes in their normal identities. Clark Kent, I'm sure, has his W-2 from the Daily Planet.
But, Peter Parker.
Right. He would have a 1099. He's an independent contractor with the Daily Bugle. But on the superhero side of things, it's potentially very different. For example, Superman a couple years ago announced that he was thinking about renouncing his United States citizenship because he didn't want to be seen as, a partisan acting on behalf of the United States, but rather an independent force for good. And this would have some consequences because if you renounce your U.S. citizenship, one of the things is the IRS assumes you're doing it to evade taxes. Mm. And so what they make you do is they basically make you pay taxes on all your assets as though you had just sold them. And then they make you pay taxes for, I think, the next 10 years at your normal tax rates. Well, all those things in the Fortress of Solitude, which includes, for example, a giant solid gold key so heavy only Superman can lift it, suddenly he would have to pay taxes on that. And that's a lot of coal to crush into diamonds.
Which may also be a taxable event.
Yeah.
Clark Kent presumably has a Social Security and/or taxpayer ID number. Superman doesn't. We know as the reader that they're the same person. But as far as the government is concerned, they're not. So we've got these superheroes who identities aren't publicly known, who have, they don't have any records of the DMV. They don't have a birth certificate.
They don't need the DMV.
Well, the Batmobile probably isn't street legal, but we'll just move right along. So it's not even clear who the IRS would want to yell at. I mean, these guys don't exactly have an agent to receive service of process. The IRS is very, very good at finding those things, and there have been a couple sort of humorous one-offs where, the Joker says, I'll go up against Batman any day, but not the IRS. No, thank you. I'm not that crazy.
James Daly and Ryan Davison are lawyers who run the blog lawandthemultiverse.com. Their book is The Law of Superheroes. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.